changers. Many of you know Taylor. Everything good you see in Taylor flowed downstream from right here. Well, his dad's here too, so maybe there too. But, you know, yeah, he got some good stuff there, but this is what's happening. So this is Taylor's brother, and so basically Taylor is his brother. Let's put it that way. But these guys are just super, and I just want them to share with you. And we just love them. They're just so awesome. This is the real deal. And we just want them to share what God's doing. And so take it.
Hi, everyone. Like Pastor Daniel said, we're Josh and Melissa Jensen. And we actually have a video that we're going to show you guys first. And then we're going to share a little bit about what we do in Youth with a Mission with YWAM. So, yeah, if you can just roll the video and we'll come back after. So like you saw in the video, we're Josh and Melissa Jensen, and we lead what's called a Compassion Ablaze Discipleship Training School. And so we're actually based in Kona, Hawaii, where Youth of the Mission has their largest training center. And so every September, we start a school that lasts 6 months, and we train students for 3 months in Kona, basically training them how to be a missionary and just with theology and giving them, equipping them with practical tools to go to third world nations. actually got to fly out Pastor Daniel, Pastor Teresa to the school, and they spent a week equipping our students, and it was so phenomenal. They got to speak straight into the identity and spiritual giftings of our students and really praying for the Lord to activate those in our students' lives, and it was really incredible. We're here. Pastor Daniel and Teresa just so graciously opened their arms to Melissa and I, and we've never really had a place here in California, which is my home state, to really call home and be a home base for us. And so they've really opened their arms to have Summit be that home base for us and that home family. And we just want to thank you guys. Yeah, thank you so much. We really could not do anything that we do in the nations without intercession and without a church behind us and really sending us out. And so to have a place here like Summit to join the Summit family and Summit community just means so much and just really warms our hearts to know that we have a family and a community to come back to when we get to come back here. So,
So with our DTS, the Compassion Ablaze DTS, the focus is really seeing the students understand and have the Lord's heart for ministry and for people. And the only place that you can get the Lord's heart is from that place of prayer. Because if we minister out of our own strength, we're not actually doing that much, and it's so little. But when we get the heart of the Lord, we get His plans, His blueprints for the nations, we can actually make a huge impact in the nations. And so that's really the heart behind our school, and that we really long to see long-term missionaries sent out. These students do come for a six-month training program, but many of them stay. We have over 10 of them coming back just from this group to work with us for the next 2 years, and many of them have gone back and working at other ministries in their home churches and already sent out to the nations and to different outreach locations. And so that's really our heart, is to train and equip long-term missionaries to be in the field. And then when we're not training, we're out in the field doing that too.
Like Pastor Daniel said, we get to go and actually visit our teams on pastoral visits and making sure the teams are doing great and seeing everything that's out there. And we just really want to give a word of encouragement to you guys, just as the church here, as the home body, that the Lord is doing so much in the nations. I mean, those statistics up there, our school's really nothing special. That happens in every school that goes out, guys. Like, that's actually really not out of the ordinary. It happens all the time. And the Lord's using our school and so many others to do so much in the nations. And there's just such an amazing body out there of people who are believers just like us that are doing amazing works all over the world. And it's just so amazing to be a part of the bigger impact of what God's doing. And you guys are a part of that. You guys sow into that and pray into that. And it's so needed and it's so huge. But Melissa and I have been in Wyoming for almost 7 years now. And since we started, there's just been like an acceleration, just an urgency ramping up. Our students really don't have to work that hard when they go to places. One of those pictures was from Nepal, a girl praying for a lady, a Nepalese lady in Nepal. And literally, they pray for one person. They're surrounded by crowds, and people just want to know who Jesus is and are so hungry right there to do that. And they get healing, and the Lord is breaking chains off of them and healing their eyes and healing their wounds and in their heart and everything. And it's really not that hard. Like, God is just so ready to just blast the nations with His love right now. And there's just an urgency in the hour, and it's just phenomenal. And so we just want to encourage you with that and say that there's so much going on out there. And God is really using believers all around the world to do amazing things. So we have friends that go into closed nations even all the time and just do awesome works. Like, there's no nation that is closed, that can be closed with the gospel. God can get people in there to do anything He needs. So it's been phenomenal to see that happen.
Yeah, we're just so honored to be a part of the work that the Lord is doing in the nations. And just realizing that each and every one of our yes really makes a difference. And each and every one of our yes, our simple obedience, really does change history. And we're super excited about what God is doing and super honored that He's called us to be a part of it. So, yeah, we'll be outside after the service. If you want to hear more or learn more about what we're doing or how to be involved, just come and meet us. We'd love to get to know you and talk to you after the service.
Oh, you can do better than that. I'm not even going to preach if you don't honor my friends. They're family. Come on, can you just swing to the other side? We're going to bless them. You know, it's one thing to say bless you and then say be warm and filled and see you. And then they go out and do it all year round and go through all the stuff. And then everybody sits here and we're all kicking back. I just want to ask you, how many of you could just skip a meal a month? Just one meal a month and then support a missionary? Do you know one meal a month in our house teaching on identity, we talk about the gifts, and then some of them got filled with the Holy Spirit one day, and the next day we're teaching on words of knowledge, so then they got some words of knowledge, then we turn around and someone gets healed, and then I turn around and had the student who just got filled yesterday, just got healed today, turn around and laid hands on someone else who got healed, and the ones, scoliosis got healed, and then they did the girl scream, ah, and I'm like, give her the mic, he just got healed, I got healed, I'm like, there goes faith, and everybody starts getting healed, and the kids are praying for each other. It was so awesome. But you know, it really, seriously, God wants to use people and multiply it because he's pouring it out. So I'm saying these are good people, their family, and help them out. Stop by, and I just want you to bow your heads where you're at right now. And I don't know, we don't pressure people, manipulate people. We ask you to listen to God. But I do say this, that listen to God. If you can skip a meal and support them, stop at their table, grab a piece of paper, and hook up and say, for 1 month, I'll skip 12 meals, and I'll support you with X amount of money. Some of you can do better than that, but support them. And I just thank you, God, that you speak to us. We only do what God says. We're not manipulated by emotions. All giving is based on love, but we love them, and Summit loves them, and God loves them, and I pray God would let love flow through you to them and bless them. So I just thank you for that. We only listen to your words, God, and we obey them in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, when we were in Kona, we had so much fun, and while we were there, we drove around, and he's got a pickup truck. And I don't mind sitting in the back of a pickup truck, but how many of you know this little baby girl can't ride in the back of a pickup truck? You know what I mean? Moms? So it's a two-seater pickup truck. There's not a cab like mine. So they need a car. I think they've raised $3,000 or $4,000 of it. They need about $6,000 more for a car. God puts it on your heart. Help them get the car. And would you extend your hands out this way, especially moms, because we're going to bless this family. I thank you that she prophesied it. She said, I just see, and she didn't even know they were believing for a baby. And was she pregnant at the time when she prophesied? A month later, she got pregnant. So this little girl in here got prophesied by your pastor. Yeah. If he wasn't married, he'd have prophesied a wife, and she'd have come too. Because usually that's Teresa's first priority is to see. I'm just messing. But then after you're married, it's a baby. Anyway. God, we just thank you. We just stretch out our hands and say, this baby's blessed. She's so blessed to be born of a family that would give it all to serve you. And I pray, God, that you just reward them and honor them even as they've honored you, as they take a stand to serve you in the nations and serve you with all these kids that need to be mommied and daddied and all the drama associated with it. Even in 1 week, we had so much drama that we were helping them with, and they get to carry that weight because God's anointed them to mommy and daddy these people and to raise them up and release them like Jesus did. So we just pray blessings on this family, blessings on this little girl. We pray the blessing of God, the favor of God. I pray every single thing that you're believing for that vehicle to come in, for all your monthly support to be covered. I pray for refreshing. I pray you guys would hug their necks and love on them, and that every time they come to Summit, I mean, my goodness, you know, we got missionaries that are here, and maybe they can only come, you know, several weeks out of the year because they're all around the world. But when they do come, they're going to get loved and accepted and blessed. But I just believe that they're going to end up on your prayer list. I believe God's going to say you put them regularly to pray for them. Some of you are going to regularly support them, but you show it. Show your prayers. And I just thank you, God. So demonstrate your favor on them. I just thank you for them. In the name of Jesus, you're so good. Amen. Amen. so you know, so those of you who deal with chronic pain, I had that one time, six months, and I saw all these people get healed, and then finally mine came, and I was so excited, because pain is not good, and chronic is worse, but I just bless you. So I just bless you, and I just pray all that those words God has spoken would kick into motion, and I just thank you for them in the name of Jesus. Amen. I always ask God a series, I'm starting a series on honor, and I always ask him what's the one thing. I always try to tell you that before I start. You know, I think the one thing would probably be honor. One is that we would identify what honor is. What are that? What is that? What's that look like? How does that pan out? And the next thing is probably not only what's it look like, but how do we handle it? How do we receive it? How to give it? How do we handle it? How do we give it to men? How do we give it to God? How do we not take God's? How do we handle honor? And the next thing would be is how do we continue to cultivate an atmosphere of honor, and how do we contribute to that in the body of Christ by honoring the people and even the no matter whatever task by creating an atmosphere of honor, because God loves an atmosphere of honor. And where Jesus was dishonored, there wasn't a lot of miracles that flowed, but where there was honor, miracles flowed. Are you with me? So I pray for you now, and I pray, God, that you have blessed lives, and I pray your word would come in power and have its full way in all of our lives, and that you would help reveal honor. Give us a better view, give us a better understanding, and let it come into our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. My text is Philippians 2. The title is Honor Through Humility, and Philippians 2 is one of the best examples. So what I want to show you, we're going to read Philippians 2, 1 through 9. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship in the Spirit, any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy of being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Everybody just say, ooh, ooh, you. Isn't this ooh, you Christian kind of like awesome, you know, fulfill my joy, same love, unity. Isn't that beautiful? That's like the picture, right? Then Paul starts to tell you, how is it going to happen? All right, so in Pauline style, here he goes, verse 3 through 9. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Just say ouch, because I know it hurts all of us, because he's kind of doing that, but it's okay. Those are good times. And he says in verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, and now he goes deep, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. Verse 8, having been found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name. That is the highest place of honor in heaven, on earth, in any place, and for all eternity. God gave him the highest place of honor, a name above every name that will be named forever and ever. And even that name, if you go down to verse 11, it says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess Jesus is Lord. Do you know what that means? That means in hell, the demons and every person in hell will bow their knee and declare Jesus Christ is Lord. On earth, they will declare. In heaven, they will declare. And at that moment, everyone in every place, all creation, all of them are going to in harmony declare the lordship of Jesus Christ. You can give him praise for that one. It's coming. We just want to be in the right place, crying out from the right, because the people that are declaring he's Lord, I want to be on a volunteer bended knee declaring he's Lord with a smile on my face. I either want to be in heaven or on earth on my way to heaven. Don't want to be in that other illustration, but Jesus is Lord. And God did highly exalt him, and everyone will acknowledge it. Yeah, definition of honor, to give, to glory in and promote another. Definition, Webster, to glory in and promote another. To elevate another status. Don't you like people, when you get around them, they're always just making you feel better? I mean, they're elevating, they're talking about you, they're telling you how, you know, Danielle O'Dash, I can't say enough about Danielle. You get around Danielle, you just want to compliment, tell her how awesome she is. She's such a woman of God. She's anointed and praise and worship. She carries joy. Her name is Joy too, isn't it? Yeah. It's like she carries it, and it's like, it's all true. It's all real. She's the real deal. And it's like, you get around her, it's just so easy. And some people, it's not so easy. I've been around some people it's hard to say anything good about. But, you know, you can do that, and you can give, and to honor someone is to give prestige to somebody, to great respect and admiration for someone else. And some people, it's harder to find it. But you know what? We need to still honor the honorable and those that aren't honorable. We still need to give honor. Philippians 2:3, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That's honor. He's talking about honor. Isn't that what I just said? The definition? To promote another. And so in this chapter, he's saying esteem one another. So here is, he's given us the key how to honor and the definition of honor. It's right there in chapter 2. And he also is showing Jesus, who was the highest example of honor that we could ever have. New Century Version of Philippians 2:3 says, when you do these things, do not let selfishness or pride be your guide. Instead, be humble and give more honor to others than to yourself. Say that with me. More honor to others than to self. Ooh. See, honor is a good thing. Do you know, it can be a good thing when money's given, right? Say amen. Just say amen, because I know you like that. Somebody comes up and hands you money, it's like, that's a good thing. Just agree. But, you know, it can be a bad thing when money's taken, too. Anybody been robbed? Anybody been stolen from? Anybody had things taken from you? Anything had things promised to you and not given? Yeah, and honor can be good when given and bad when taken. If you try to take honor from God, he will not share his glory with anyone. It's not so much the object, it's how the object's used. You guys, many of you drove here in a car. The car isn't bad. The car can be used for good to get you to church, and it could be used for bad if you decided to run over somebody on the way to church. Are you here? It's not so much the car, it's how you use the car. Are you here? And so you can use honor and misuse honor. Honor is a huge part of our world. It's misused every day by so many. We have to learn how to identify what honor looks like. We have to identify what honor doesn't look like. We have to learn how to handle it and how not to take the honor that's God's. We have to learn how to give it to people and give it to God. We have to learn how to cultivate an atmosphere of honor and how to breed a generation that is taught to live for selfies. Elementary, junior high, high school, colleges are not teaching people to live for honor. Some may, and some, and I will make an exception, some, but majority are not teaching honor. They're teaching selfies. But the Bible says in the last days that people will be lovers of self. Why are we surprised? That's a fetish of mine. I mean, sometimes I just am like, oh. But you know, it's like Jesus laid down self, and basically it's either self or it's God. Paul said, it's not I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. So the more we learn how to lay down self, there's a place when you can take a self, there's a place to use the internet for the glory of God, but some people have messed it all up for the glory of man. That's what I'm talking about. If a ballerina did a beautiful ballet, which I'm so not a dancer or artistic in that way, but they came up and they did it, and we went to hand them roses, and they went, oh, give me the roses, I'm not worthy. Yeah, of course, none of this is worthy, but you just did a good dance. Take the roses, smell the roses, and give the glory to God in the dressing room. It's okay to smell them, just don't take it. Oh, I just did this beautiful ballet. I'm so beautiful. I just did my thing. Oh, can I give you flowers? Oh, no. It was God. No, you just danced. I saw you. It was good. Can you give me flowers? No, it was totally God. And I just read this story the other day, and someone said, it wasn't that good. This person sang a solo, and they're like, oh, no, it wasn't me, it was all God. And they go, well, it wasn't that good. If God sang, it would have been like, break the glass, boom. No, you know what I mean? I mean, let's be real. There's a little bit of us here, too, you know? We're just donkeys he rides in on, but we did a good job. I was like, oh, okay, I'm a good donkey. But, you know, I mean, is it we learn to smell. We got to learn how to not have false humility. You smell the flowers and give them to God. Just don't take the glory to yourself. Just don't go out going, I mean, it's a terrible thing with ministry when you take the glory, because what God does is God just says, okay, and you're like, oh, I'm so good, I'm so awesome. Come to me, come to my prayer line, I'm the one who's anointed. And God just kind of goes, okay, let's see how you do out there without me. And nothing. soon you're like, God, where are you? And he's like, when you better acknowledge me, because when you take the glory, you get left out there by yourself. There's no worse feeling. Go try to cast a demon out by yourself. Go on these mission trips and find somebody who's demonized. And then go like, I can handle it. I'm a martial artist. And this one demon guy is going off. And they're all like, Pastor Daniel, come on. And I'm like, what do you think I'm going to do? Use karate on a demon? I try to go in there. Just, so what if I'm a black belt? Demons are a little stronger than black belts. You see, little girls can push black belts all around if they demonize a little girl. Because demonic power is different than natural power. I don't care how good you are in natural power. We don't come with natural power. And I didn't have a problem. I went at the demon. But I didn't come at the demon in a karate stance. I came at the demon and said, in the name of Jesus, you will back down because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You will, right now, you will let. See, God's power is more powerful than darkness. And we need to get that straight. But if we don't walk in God's power, we're not going to do what Jesus did. You can't see people delivered and healed if you're not walking in God's power. But there are churches that can just rep their own power, and just if you have good discipline and you don't have addictions and you don't have real problems, you can come in and blend and mix without really a lot of the power of God if you're really a strong. Some human beings are very disciplined, they're very together, and they can just carry it and they can pull it together. And that wasn't me, and I wouldn't have made it in one of those churches if I didn't come in contact with the power of God. When I was born again, it took me a whole of about 30 seconds after I was saved to realize I'm going to mess this thing up. And I just said, oh God, I'm addicted to drugs. Help me and deliver me, because if I don't, I'm going to mess this salvation thing up that I just happened. And he delivered me, and I've never done drugs. But I know it was God's power, not my power. Because I tried to stop. Our God's God who has power of addiction. He's God, he doesn't back self. And so here in Philippians, he says, and being found in appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. He's given us all the keys here, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. This verse is telling us Jesus was elevated to the highest position of honor because he gladly, he humbled himself. He's telling us the road. See, the devil deceives many into thinking that if you serve, if you take the low path, then it's all, you're not going to have anything, and it's not going to be about you. And if you serve, they're going to use you, and they're going to abuse you, and you're not going to have anything. And you know what? Don't take the low road. You deserve so much. It's like, oh my goodness, Danielle O'Dash, she's a worship leader. But there's trash outside her car. You don't need to pick that up. You need to just call on someone else to pick that up. You're a worship leader in this church. That's messed up. And some worship leaders pick up the trash outside the car because this is her daddy's house. And her daddy's house doesn't mean you have trash on the ground. So she's not afraid to pick up trash, but you're a worship leader. You shouldn't be picking up trash. We're all trash picker-uppers. We're all ushers. We're all greeters. We're all hospitality. We're all vacuum. We all get to do all of it. And the higher you are, the more you serve. It just means you're better at serving. Can I tell you this? That basically Jesus was the best, and because he served the most, God honored him the most. And if we don't figure out that the humility is the road to honor and serving is the way, because Jesus in this passage showed the epitome of humility and the epitome of honor in the same chapter. You can't get any more humble than what he did, and you can't get any more honor than what he received. Luke 14:11, in God's word, it says, those who honor themselves will be humbled. The people who humble themselves will be honored. What do you want? Those who honor themselves will be humbled. I'll never forget Gladiator when he looked and he told the emperor, he said, the time of honoring yourself is coming to an end. I'm like, oh. Get humbled if you honor yourself. But if you humble yourself, you'll be honored. Honor comes through humility, not through self-seeking, not through self-promotion. And Jesus was saying this. In the previous chapter, he said in Luke 13:30, he said, and indeed, the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is what he's trying to say. Four quick people you do not want to be. Look at someone and say, don't do this at home. Do not be like these people. Four examples of honoring self. Here's four of the examples of what not to do. Okay. Number one, Lucifer. Don't do that one. Okay? Don't be that character. Lucifer. Number one, Lucifer. He's a great example of what not. yet you exalt yourself against my people and that you will not let them go. Don't come against the work of God. Well, it's to my benefit that I keep these slaves. They're doing all my work for free. Why would I let them go? It's to my benefit that I do this. Why would I do that? Hey, he drowned in the sea with his army. So if we want to oppose God and be against the work of God, be against what God's doing, get a good life preserver. Number three, Nebuchadnezzar. You don't want to be like Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel 4:30. And the king spoke, saying, is this not the great Babylon that I have built? The world dwelling for my mighty power, for the honor of my majesty. When you get too many my's and I's in there, you're in trouble. Look at my business. Look at my job. Look at my talents. Look at myself. Look at my and I. Those are some trouble vocabulary. You know, they did a whole study. I think Google did the study, and they studied all the books in this generation and said that this generation has more me's, my's, I's, and mine, and they don't have team and unity and togetherness. It's missing. Read all the books. They studied it. I forget the statistic. It'd be great. I'll pull it up, and I'm doing a series in a few weeks. I'll pull it up to give you the real deal. But the bottom line was is we live in the midst of a me, my, I generation, and Jesus was all about others and not about Nebuchadnezzar was all about himself for the honor of my majesty. Whoops, Daniel 5:20. This is what happens next. Go to the next chapter. But when his heart was lifted up, well, I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. We need to get our hearts right. His heart was lifted up. His spirit was hardened in pride. Daniel 5:20. He was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. You can't take the glory of God, and if you want it to be about you, it'll get taken from you. The last one is Herod, and this is my personal favorite. Acts 12, not like I want to be like him, I just thought this story was cool. And Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord, having, you know, blah, blah, blah. Let's go right down to the real verse. Here it is. This is what I want. Verse 22. And the people kept shouting, the voice of a God and not of a man. The voice of a God and not of a man. And I'd have been like, beep, 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 trouble coming, trouble coming. But he didn't. He just was like taking it in. Immediately, the angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. I just wish I had a video camera on that one, Josh. I mean, like mummy status stuff. It'd be like worms busting out and stuff. You know what I mean? Boom, he's down. I mean, you're like, come on, if your kids were there, you're like, don't do that one, all right? Don't do that one. Do you see the pile of worms? Bad idea to be taking pride in all about me. Too much self just stinks. Worms are like on rotten stuff, and it's in too much self, it just is not good. It's not God. Number two, the greatest example, and this is what I really want to talk about today. Don't be like those guys. Number two, the greatest example of humility, of humbling self. The greatest example of humbling self is in verse 7. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Himself. It was a choice. Being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself. Humbled himself. You want to look where self fits in? Make himself of no reputation. Humbled himself. Those are good things. Becoming obedient to the point of death. These are all things we get to do. We, I, and my get to humble and obedient and even to the point of cross, which is giving of yourselves. We get to carry our cross daily. Verse 7. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of man. Wow. He came to earth, and he let go of his glory.
worship. And some people can't get past the trash. They're thinking of the trash. Are you here? Thank you for honoring God. Thank you for treating this house like it's yours. God honors you because you honor him. Are you with me? That's what God wants. God wants us to be a people who treat his house and his kids like they're his kids. God wants us to honor it and treat it that way. And if you do that and humble yourself, God will promote you. And I believe it comes out in every area of our lives. I'm done preaching. Would you stand to your feet with me? I hope you got something good today. We're going to continue on a series of honor. I pray for you right now. I just want to pray for you. I pray that you got a little glimpse, like I prayed in the beginning, that you could see a little better what honor looks like. I pray, if you want to look at the epitome, his name is Jesus Christ. He exemplified it in the highest degree. But I pray you got another peek at what honor looks like. I pray that you got to look at glory, and you got a warning sign not to touch glory. I pray that those guys who did it wrong, you never do like that. That you remember that not to do that way and that thing. Don't take it. Don't be prideful. Don't steal the glory. Don't do those things. Don't oppose the work of God. And I pray that God would use you to serve in his kingdom. And I pray that when you get on that road to service, and when you get on that road to honor, I pray he lifts you up and honors you. And the greatest honor of all is when you get to that point, and he looks at you and he says, Chris, well done, good and faithful servant. What did I do? You served me with your life and with your family. Gabe, well done, good and faithful servant. What did I do? I just used the gift you gave me. That's our attitude here. But he's going to look at you and say, you served and brought people under the anointing of God. You served and gave. Our attitude is, I'm just using the gift you gave me on that drum kit. I'm just doing that. That's our attitude here. But his attitude as a daddy is going to be, yeah, you take the road of humility. I'm going to take the position of honor. And he's going to honor you. And you're going to get into heaven. He's going to honor you and say, I've been waiting for you, Gabe Mason. Well done. Well done. Well done when the pressure is on you. Well done when everything's coming to get you. Well done when your lower back's hurting and you're still playing on those drums for all those people and no one knows the pain you walked. Well done when you feel like, you know, like it's all. Well done. Well done. Well done, Runyon. Well done, Starry. Well done, Jeremy, when you're in another nation and you're puking your guts out and no one.